Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay.
News.
News.
Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy. 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9, tonight with Jeffrey and Matt.
Unfortunately, Sammy is not able to join us this evening due to having some other commitments, but we'll be back next week. Here at Gay News Week, we aim to cover topics that have been in the news over the past week and how they impact you, us and our community. On tonight's show, we are, of course, going to be talking about the US election and what's happened in that regard. We're going to be talking about an interview that we have with someone who had some comments published on Facebook which were not GLBTI friendly. We're going to talk about some issues that have gone on elsewhere around the world and also about the issue about Tranny, the musical, and what's happened there that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. If at any time you want to get in contact with us, this is how you would.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
But first, as we go to air this evening, the United States of America is in the process of providing the Democrats with a mandate to serve for another 4 years in government. A short time ago, the now re-elected US President Barack Obama gave his victory speech from his campaign headquarters in Chicago. Here's some of what he had to say.
America, I believe we can build on the progress we've made and continue to fight for new jobs and new opportunity and new security for the middle class. I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
Joy 94.9.
President Barack Obama, during his victory speech, having won the US presidential election and defeated his opposition candidate Mitt Romney. Obama has achieved, based on the latest statistics anyway, 303 electoral votes out of the required 270. The way the US election works is that you vote for your local candidate. Then they tally up in each state how many seats they've won. And then if you get over 50%, you then get to dedicate all of their electoral votes, one per seat, to the federal count. So as a overview, having won 330 could be regarded by some as a landslide.
Yeah, certainly. But see, it's not all just all pro-Obama of what I found out this afternoon. Although the Democrats, which is Obama's team, have retained control of the Senate, which is the equivalent of our upper house here in Australia, the Republicans, which is Mitt Romney's party, have of course retained control of the House of Representatives, the lower house. So that's quite interesting to see that they haven't got their whole mandate, the whole all of the houses.
Yeah, and one of the criticisms that certainly existed in the United States about the Obama presidency, particularly the last 2 years of his first term, is that he's been in gridlock and been unable to get things done because there has been a Republican majority in the House of Representatives. That continues at least into the first 2 years of this term. And so a lot of what he probably wants to do and a lot of the things he said he would like to do are going to be blocked during that first 2 years, you would think. And so it's going to continue with 2 years of the same. So that's not as reassuring for him being able to do all of the things that he has said he wants to.
Yeah, certainly. And it's quite interesting that we can actually relate it back to our own situation here in Australia, how we have the situation of a hung parliament in our federal parliament at the moment. So it's quite similar to that.
It is certainly in the ability to get things done. And there's been a huge swing towards Obama over this last week, and there's been a lot of factors that have come into that. And certainly there's the storm, and we might come back to the storm in a minute. But a lot of people had it down as being a very close election. But 303 electoral votes is a lot over the 270 required.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It's a pretty substantial win. And he's also got about 50.5% of the primary vote. So he's done okay to get across the line.
And it was actually quite interesting to note that these results kind of came through quite quickly when the polls started to close. And so a lot of the Republican centred states were bringing back these results of Barack Obama and the Democrats winning, which is actually really interesting in itself, that it's fairly convincing that although I don't think the official results have been called just as yet, it's fairly obvious that Obama will be taking it home this evening.
Yeah. And certainly looking around at the House of Representatives and the US Senate, there were about 20 seats that looked undecided when I had a look about half an hour ago. So there are some people that will certainly be looking at that. To talk about some of the things that have changed over the last week in terms of momentum, Hurricane Sandy happened.
Yeah.
And so there's a concern in a lot of states that there might actually be some legal cases and other things about people not being able to vote, people not being able to lodge votes by mail early, because there's obviously problems with the mail that have happened. And there's been a lot of electoral booths that have not been able to be, you know, sourced with electricity and the like. And a lot of the voting is done by machine. And so there's a lot of issues that might remain unresolved. They'll probably only be unresolved in the seats where it was pretty close, though.
And it's actually quite interesting that you mentioned that there were some problems with the voting machines. Here in Australia, obviously, when you go in to vote, that it's all paper-based and there isn't really any computers involved when you're actually filling out the ballot form. But I was having a surf around and I found a video on the internet today of there was some rather questionable activity happening with some of their computer-based voting machines. There was one, however, that I saw that someone had recorded inside the voting booth where they tried to select Barack Obama as the candidate, but the machine, for some reason, selected Romney. So then they unselected that and they wanted to go for Obama again, and it was malfunctioning. So it's actually quite interesting to see if anything happens out of that one and see if there's any technical problems or maybe something more sinister.
There's certainly a history in states of there being multiple legal actions that come out of elections over exactly those sorts of things. And so you'd have to be reassured by the Australian system, which, although fairly old-fashioned and takes a lot of counting in fairness, so they are talking about a much bigger population, but at least we can come up with a result based on a pencil and a piece of paper that has some validity and doesn't come up with years' worth of legal cases afterwards.
Yeah, most definitely. And some of the things attributed to Obama's win is, of course, his ability to reach out to the minority groups like Hispanics and the African-American community and, of course, very important to us, the LGBT community. He's done a lot of great moves for that. And, of course, when he affirmed that he believed that same-sex marriage should be legal.
Notably, during this first term of the Obama presidency, he changed his point of view on that, and he claimed that part of the reason for that was that his girls had a friend who had same-sex parents. And so he obviously saw that there was a change in the way those sorts of things should be represented in politics. So I think it's really good that he has referenced the GLBTI community in his speech and has continued to do so, particularly over the last couple of years, and particularly with his speeches around the It Gets Better campaign in the States, where a lot of his senior leadership group have come up with very firm statements supporting our community in the United States.
Certainly, and I want to hear from you. Do you think it was a great move? Obviously, we're all in support of Obama because of his great efforts towards the LGBTI community, but do you have maybe a differing view? Send us a text, 0427JOY949. You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9. 9.
So we have some more coverage and some more conversation that we'd like to have about the American election, which the result came through and Obama has won, although he's not going to have unfettered permission to do whatever he likes based on what's happened in the other houses of parliament. So we took a clip previously from Obama's victory speech.
Yeah.
And I wonder what's happening in the Romney camp.
Now, I believe we can actually cross live to Romney's campaign headquarters. Let's take a listen to what's going down over there. Yeah, it's a lot more somber and not as excited situation out there, is it?
No, it's
no cheering.
Isn't. No cheering, no happiness.
No victory speeches.
No.
It's all very sad, isn't it? All right, I think we've heard enough of that. That's enough of that.
I did have a little listen to Romney's speech, which certainly didn't have as triumphant a feel as Obama one.
Imagine.
It was pretty short compared to Obama's speech. It only went for about 6 minutes, and I was thinking while I was listening, can I find a clip out of this worth playing? But I couldn't.
Frankly, no.
So it was not a bad speech. He credited the president with a good campaign. He said that he'd pray for the president
to do a good job. Sure, he appreciates that.
But, yeah, he didn't actually say anything. And I was looking for something maybe referencing the fact that he didn't connect with some communities and maybe the GLBTI community. But that was absent from his speech.
Most definitely. Also, now, we were talking about the voting system and how it is and how they produce the polls and all this and all the opinions. Now, Jeffrey, I believe there was a story, a little bit unconventional polling method that that came out of a particular dating app.
Yeah, one of the leading gay dating apps in the United States and indeed here is Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
And the company or someone through the company did a survey of their members, and 75% of Grindr users in the United States supported Obama.
Wow, well, that must be very reassuring for him.
So
I'm sure
that was a poll that they all took into serious account when they were coming up with their electoral strategies.
Now, certainly. So, to a more serious note now, I believe there's been some great things coming out of a first openly gay person elected to the Senate in the United States.
Yeah, Senator Tammy Baldwin, who has been in federal politics for a long time, was elected to the Senate. Now, the two houses of parliament equate to ours. They both have the same name, the House of Representatives and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the first openly lesbian person to be elected to the Senate. There's 100 senators across the United States, about two per state. And yeah, so she has been elected to that position against a lot of opposition and is a very strong and feisty woman.
And that is excellent to hear. And, of course, she is a Democrat, correct?
She's a Democrat from the state of Wisconsin, which is a fairly progressive state in electing her. And it would be difficult to know whether she was voted on for being a woman,
mm-hmm,
because she was a lesbian, or people voted to her on the basis of politics and other reasons and were unconcerned maybe with what her sexuality was. It's an interesting way to think about it. Maybe they just, in Wisconsin, don't care about that as an issue.
That would be very nice to hear if it was that issue. I don't think, I personally don't think somebody should be elected to government, and I would assume you would agree with me, just because somebody's gay. And they have to have the policies to follow it up.
Yeah, it has to be deeper than that.
Now, also, I saw a story about a Republican candidate in Mitt Romney's hometown. What happened there?
There is a gay Republican who was nominating for the state as a state representative for the House of Representatives. And, yeah, he went down. He did not get elected. He got 47% of the vote. And it's still pretty close because there was the third person in the race, which is a bit odd. But, yeah, so it was 47-48, but the commentary was that he was going to be unsuccessful this time round. Very interesting that he was from Romney's home state.
Yeah.
He was a Republican and gay and hasn't got elected.
Certainly. And now I'm a keen user of Twitter, as I've mentioned before on the show, and it is a great tool to get this kind of coverage, but I've noticed recently that I've been going through and trying to get facts and trying to work out what's happening in the United States with the election coverage, but I've run into a few problems because of course, the trolls are out there making jokes. And so sometimes it can make it very difficult to get some proper information out of it.
What sort of information have you come across? What sort of difficulties?
Well, see, people can be very sly on Twitter, and especially as like the trolls have been in the news a
Explain
lot
Explain trolls for those that aren't across the term properly.
See, it's actually really hard to define it because it's something that you need to be immersed in to actually understand the culture of what a troll is. And it's usually someone who tries to provoke a reaction from someone by saying something that they're clearly going to disagree with. So, and it's trying to break through those jokes and work out what's actually genuine, because there's a lot of crazy this stuff that comes out of America, as I'm sure you're aware. It's been very difficult for me.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, about the democratisation of the media, if you like, which essentially means that anyone can put their opinion out, and it can, if you're not a discerning reader or viewer or consumer, be put on the same weight with reliable websites and reliable commentary. So anyone can put an opinion out, and then, providing you've got enough followers and enough of an audience, it can be taken as valid commentary.
Yeah, definitely. We've seen those kind of stories popping up around, like, it's just the simplest comment can sometimes be taken by the media and blown up and taken as the gospel truth, which is crazy. I think it's really important to bring in the medium of making sure you're doing your research properly.
Moving back to serious issues that were covered in the US election, other than the election of Tammy Baldwin, there were a number of other United States candidates who were from the LGBT community who have actually got up. And there's about five of them in the House of Representatives election, five or six, that have got elected. So it's actually really close in a couple of them, and there are a few that have got over the line.
Can you run us through some of them in particular?
I can. Certainly Jared Polis, who is from the state of
Colorado.
I'm looking for it. And David Saline, who is in Rhode Island. So there are a number. There's Wisconsin second congressional district, Mark Pocan. So there's at least three or four that we have names of so far that are going to be members in the House of Representatives. And I think once you start getting a little pocket, you can start developing alliances and processes. And I think once you get to probably five or six or more, you're going to be able to start influencing policy. I think only one or two people being there doesn't give you the strength of numbers to be able to work all of the things you want to into the legislation.
But I think it's actually really promising because, say, if you look back 4 or 5 years ago, the idea of someone being gay in Parliament is still a little bit of a problem, and it was still seen as something that was, oh, that can't happen. But obviously with Obama saying that he believes that same-sex marriage and marriage equality should be legal and all that stuff, we're starting to see a bit of a shift, not only in the United States, but also the world, in just kind of this doesn't really matter that this person's gay. It's about their policies.
And it is about policies. And if we go to a policy level around three of the states, there were three states in the United States that have come up with gay marriage pieces. And the way that works in the States is, whilst you go to election day every couple of years for the House of Representatives and Senate, and every 4 years for the President, they also tack on a whole heap of other bills that they want a mandate for from the public. So three states had gay marriage bills. They were Maine and Washington and
Maryland.
Minnesota.
And Minnesota, there we go.
And the Maine and Washington and Maryland actually got up, and so they have now a mandate from the people to have laws supporting equal marriage. Minnesota didn't get up.
Of course, the US elections has been a massive story here, not only for all the American TV networks and the American audiences, but also the Australian and around the world. People are all looking at America, and of course, America's always been that superpower that kind of ran the world and they were at the top. But one thing I've noticed was, like, China is an emerging superpower in the world. Why don't we have as much of an interest in their politics and their situation.
And the reason we should is, without any fanfare at all, whilst the hoopla of the American election is going on, the Chinese bureaucracy is selecting its leadership this week to lead it for the next 10 years.
Wow.
So it's interesting, the comparison in the coverage and certainly the media that are put out by both sides of the election in the United States is not at all the same in China. So it just reflects the different ways, I think, the different countries go about doing these things. And it's more of a selection or an election by very few people in China, I think you would say.
Yes.
But it's going on simultaneously, and I think that's really interesting.
It is very interesting.
And other things that are going on in why the election matters is, it's the biggest economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so its economy affects us if it's going badly, which it has been. And it's also important to remember that that there is probably little difference in foreign policy terms for a lot of the things that are going on between both of the leading parties. So this is just a little overview of our thoughts around the American election. We might have some more coming up. You're on Gay Newsweek.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
Last week we spoke to Liz Landry from the Sex, Sexuality and Gender Diversity Committee on the Darabin Council about some comments that were posted on the Facebook page of that organisation, or that's what she said. The comments were allegedly made by Anadia Ananevsky, and I'm going to apologise now for the incorrect pronunciation of that name. And he came in to explain to us what had gone on there. This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. We're interviewing Anania Ananevsky, who is a candidate for the recent Darabin City Council election. There was some reporting in the media of some comments that he made that were published on the council's website, and they weren't, it's fair to say, reported as being very gay-friendly. And so we wanted to get a point of view from Anania to clarify exactly what's happened, and what his views are on these issues. So I suppose my first question to you, other than saying thanks very much for taking the time, is what were the comments, and who put them on Facebook, and how did the incident occur?
Sure. Well, thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here. Now, in regards to the allegations, and they are allegations, I was amazed when I read them, and it was quite funny at first because it was inaccurate. But when you actually look at the seriousness of this issue, and it is a serious issue, it isn't funny. And so what happened was, on my Facebook page, I was reading Macedonian television, and there was a news article about throughout Eastern Europe what is happening with, I guess, people in the LGBTI community. First in Russia, where the current mayor decided to ban homosexual parades. I'm sure you guys would have covered that. For 100 years, whatever he made, quite ridiculous, but that's fine. And also the recent Serbian Prime Minister that said that the LGBTI community in Belgrade would no longer have gay parades and will no longer be spending $340,000 a year for those parades. Now, I made a quick comment on that in Macedonian, because it was on my private Facebook page to my Macedonian friends, saying that if elected, that I would consider a similar suit, not on cancelling homosexual parades or anything like that. However, I wouldn't be spending council money on such events as of that. So that was what I wanted to highlight very clearly. But obviously the Google translation that Preston Leader decided to translate was inaccurate.
Right, okay. MCV has also reported it,
okay.
Melbourne Community Voice, a gay and lesbian-friendly publication.
Yep.
They put the they reported it as it was actually posted on the council's Facebook page.
Yep.
So what you're saying is it wasn't on the Facebook the council Facebook page, it was on your own personal...
Well, it was on my personal private Facebook page. I don't know how you can post on Darabin's Facebook page. I'm not the administrator of Darabin's Facebook page. That is done by employees from Darabin City Council. What I did was I put it obviously on my private Facebook page that was public, and I don't hide that. Obviously I understand that people's concerns, and obviously being in the public media eye, that I would have got that attention, but it was on my private Facebook page.
Okay. So it was put on your Facebook page, and you've expressed the view that you don't support spending public money on these sorts of events. So that's essentially your position, as I am hearing it from
well,
you.
Well, I wouldn't spend $300. So it was on that situation. So that's why I put the link on there, because, you know, mm-hmm. we can demystify this. It was, according to that issue, I would follow the similar suit. I wouldn't spend $340,000 of the government's budget. At the end of the day, we are a diverse community within Darebin, and, you know, as when, you know, Preston Leader labelled me as a homophobe, I said, look, I've got friends who are gay, and the immediate reaction was that I'm not scared of them, and I understand that that wasn't, you know, it was inappropriate to say that, because it's not me and them, it's us. We are all Australians, and we are all proud members of this diverse community. But when someone labels you as a bigot and a homophobe on an issue such as that, it's an instant reaction to say, no, I'm not, because I've got this and this. So I do apologise if I've offended anyone.
The Preston Leader and MCV did report on it. At any time, were you contacted by either publication to get your comments, your views?
Not an MCV. I got called by MCV saying that there's an article on me already. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's MCV? And the person who called me, and I can't remember their name, said that basically it's Melbourne's community. Sorry, Melbourne Community.
Melbourne Community Voice. But it's okay. A long-standing one of the two Melbourne-based gay and lesbian publications.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, to be honest, I haven't been really informed within the LGBTI community. I would love to be more informed and involved, but I haven't heard of the newspaper, so they didn't contact me. Preston Leader did, and I called back, and we had a long chat. It was a chat over 40 minutes, and that's what happened.
All right. Maybe moving a little away from the sure. Facebook stuff. So what is your view on issues for gay and lesbian people? Presumably, you've come through this election, and you're most likely going to think about running for election again,
sure.
because this is obviously an interest of yours.
Sure.
So what do you say to the gay and lesbian community in...
Well, I mean, I got many emails even before this article. Do I have specific policies for LGBTI people? No, I don't. At the end of the day, we're all Australians and we're all part of this diverse community, as I said. So I don't have specific policies and issues like some other candidates did based on people's sexuality. At the end of the day, your sexuality is your business. As I said, we're all the same. So really, I regard myself as a friend, because I don't have anything against gay people. I think gay people have the right to do and love whoever they want, mm-hmm. as I have the right to love whoever I want. I respect that they have the rights, and I know that they can have a fantastic relationship and they can love people.
There is a great movement happening in Darebin at the moment in regards to gay and lesbian people and advocating for their rights, including the Sex, Sexuality and Gender Diversity Committee that's set up in Darebin. Would that be something that you would support if you were elected to...
Well, as I said to President Leader, I do support it. I would change the title, because it is a long-winded title. Same, I'd call it the sexuality area, and I think it broadens up the area, and I think it is important that we have things like that. I can tell you that, obviously, and you guys would have covered it, I'm sure, that there was a poll done by the federal member of Batman, Martin Ferguson, whether we support same-sex marriage. Now, that's a federal issue, but obviously Batman is all of Darebin, parts of Banyule and Whittlesea. And obviously I was astounded by the result. I didn't expect that result, but Darebin does not support same-sex marriage. And I was just, you know, amazed with that. And that's why I believe that action groups and community groups like this, which I would classify as a sexuality group, I would change the long-winded title. I think they need to be more prevalent within Darebin society.
By changing that long-winded title, would it perhaps undermine the validity of the people who are gender diverse and other areas that currently covers? Would you agree with that?
Oh, look, this is not my really strong forte, this topic.
We get that. That's fine.
I obviously get the language that I'm using. It is not my really strong forte. Yeah. I would call it the sexuality group. Now, I don't know if I've offended anyone by that. Once again, I do apologise, but I just believe that sexuality just covers... It's in a whole nutshell. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it is wrong, and if it is wrong, then I take that statement back.
Right. You have mentioned that that this isn't your forte. This isn't an area that you're too informed about completely.
Yeah.
After these comments have been released, and after these these articles have been published. Will you be striving to inform yourself any more?
Well,
since
I would love to. I think, you know, coming to this election, you'll learn. Obviously, being 21, this is the first elections that I can vote in, and it's the first elections that I voted for myself. So I'm proud of the fact that I've taken up this democracy. Now, I can tell you that this is an issue within the community, but it's not a main issue. The main issue that came up to me speaking to the constituents is, why is a Darabin CEO getting paid more than the President of the United States of America? Now, this is a CEO of a local municipality that gets paid more than President Barack Obama. That was the main issue. Another main issue was obviously reducing rates and parking alongside with parks. I definitely would like to become more involved and notify myself on this issue. I don't believe it's an issue. You know, people who are attracted to same-sex people, they're not an issue in the community. They're part of this community, and we need to make them feel welcome. Obviously, I've been reading Beyond Blue even before that, because I'm interested in the fact that, and I was shocked, that people who are gay or identify as gay and lesbian have a high depression rate. Now, to me, that is shocking, and we need to see how local government can fix some issues based with that. And we need to break down the stigma between people.
You're absolutely right about the statistics, and it's quite horrifying that there is somewhere between a 6 to 8 fold increase in depression and suicidality with the same-sex attracted youth. So, yeah, what sort of initiatives do you think a local council can do in that area, I guess?
Well, look, youth's a big issue within Darabin, because we've got the highest youth unemployment within metropolitan Melbourne.
Yeah, I did read that.
So,
yep.
so that is a big... So youth is a big issue. Now, what are my specific policies and how can we decrease that, really? You know, I'm the big philosopher that we don't prescribe the medicine before we give the medicine. Let's actually listen to what the people want. Let's actually sit down. And as I've said to you, I'm not very well informed to go into the specific details. I actually want to go and speak with people and members of this of the broader community, and I actually want to hear what they want, really.
And Anaya, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to Gay News Week.
No, thank you very much.
That was, of course, Ananya Ananyevsky speaking to us just a short time before the show this evening. And I've got to say, congratulations to Ananya. There's been some pretty rough comments out there, and I think it's very commendable that he came in and he gave his point of view.
I think it is great that he came in and said... the fact that he said a number of times through that interview that I'm not very well informed is a bit concerning, that he came in after this issue has happened and still claims to be uninformed is a little concerning. But kudos to him for coming in, addressing the issue as it came up.
Most certainly. You are listening to Gay News Week right here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
And we certainly welcome your feedback at any time throughout this evening or any Wednesday night here on Gay News Week. And we have had a couple of people contact us in at the studio. Adam has sent us a text on 0427JOY949 saying, good on him for coming in, which I completely agree with. But he said, but seriously, he's just digging himself a bigger hole, trying to say the right answers, but obviously has no idea. How frustrating. And I'm inclined to agree with you. Also, Grant from Gordon says, it is good to hear about Obama being re-elected in the United States. He's, of course, given us a call on 1300-JOY949, but said, it is sad to hear that Sammy is not in this evening. Thank you very much for your call, Gordon.
We do miss
Grant,
Sammy.
Grant from Gordon.
We do miss Sammy, certainly. Evan has also sent us a message or some sort of link, but we can't read it because it's in another language. So thank you,
yes,
Evan.
Thank you, Evan. Now... it is that time of the evening that we go around the world and we take a look at different stories making news around the globe.
Uganda's parliamentary speaker has claimed the country's notorious anti-homosexuality bill will soon be passed by lawmakers.
Which is just a bit concerning, isn't it? It's not really what I wanted to hear today.
It is. She told reporters that she would stand firm against homosexuality. They said I should stop the debate on the anti-homosexuality bill, but I assured them there is no way I can block a private member's bill. And in February this year, it was reported that life imprisonment would in fact replace the death penalty that exists in the draft of that bill. So that's a bit of progress from a very low base, just from something awful to something very bad.
Yeah, good on you, Uganda. But on a nicer side, Malawi has suspended its anti-gay laws, which is quite a nice story to see.
Yeah, they have. They've announced that laws criminalising same-sex sexual conduct in the country are to be suspended pending a decision on whether or not to repeal them. So they've put a hold on everything for now whilst they do some more consultation and thinking.
Yeah, Amnesty International has described the news as a historic step in the fight against discrimination in the country, which of course I definitely wholeheartedly agree with them, which I think is absolutely great. And of course in 2010, two people were sentenced to 14 years imprisonment in Malawi on charges related to same-sex sexual conduct, but they were later pardoned following an international condemnation. Good to hear they're actually listening to the world.
They are listening to the world, but further on that, the Malawi Penal Code criminalises same-sex conduct between men, and those convicted face up to 14 years imprisonment with or without corporal punishment, and indecent practices between females have a term of up to 5 years. So we're really pleased to see that they've suspended those for now.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what comes of it. Coming back home to Melbourne, where and even closer to home right here at Joy 94.9, where Dean Beck, one of the broadcasters on this particular station, has been announced as the newest ambassador for the Enough campaign. The Enough campaign, of course, aimed at wiping out the stigma related with people living with HIV.
Yeah, so it's really good to see that there are a couple of ambassadors. Jai Wallace, who is a sportsman who has come out, is one of them, and Dean has been recognised as another. And the job of the Enough ambassadors is really to get the message out that discrimination against people who have or are living with HIV should not be subject to discrimination on that basis. So congratulations to Dean for being recognised for what is quite a high-profile ambassadorship.
Most definitely. And just speaking to Dean around the station, I know that he is very passionate about this issue, and I think he is very capable at the job that he's been he's chosen for. He said in an interview that HIV is something we must talk about openly, clearly and honestly, and that he thinks the statistics surrounding the rising infection rates of HIV are shocking, and he says that he's had enough and he plans to do something about it, which is a nice little segue. What else?
Well done, Dean, for that.
Also, a story that has that we reported here on Gay News Week a couple of weeks ago has had a bit of a development, Jeffrey.
We have. You might recall, if you've been listening for a few weeks, that we talked about Trevor Ashley's new panto, essentially, so show that he's doing that is called Tranny. Mm. Now, it seems that he's renamed the show Trashly. Now, why has he done that, Matt?
Well, we thought that maybe he had actually listened to the media condemnation and the condemnation of the community that it is really inappropriate to have a performance named this because, of course, of the derogatory term that's often used when describing trans people. But I believe he's actually he's made a statement saying that my only statement is that due to the addition of two huge stars like Rhonda Birchmore and Gary Sweet, I truly felt that they could possibly steal the limelight from me. And he said he had to change the name just to make sure everybody knew the show was still about him, which clearly not really getting the message there.
I think that's too cute by half. I think he needs to admit that he made a mistake, as we talked about at the time when this was widely reported, to say he made a mistake, that he misjudged public sentiment and that he's backtracked upon it for that reason. To try and come up with this really cute saccharine comment, I think undermines the level of offence that he's made to our brothers and sisters in the trans community.
I completely agree. And Transgender Victoria spokesperson and, of course, a fellow Melbourne community radio broadcaster, Sally Goldner, said the name change is welcome, although issues connected to the plot still remain unresolved. And she, of course, reaffirmed that the offer to assist in making the script respectful to trans people remains on the table.
Although they have said that they are rewriting the script and doing some work on it. So hopefully all of the issues of concern will be resolved to everyone's satisfaction. Mm. You're on Gay News Week.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
We're just going to do a little wrap-up and an update on the American election. There's been no real change in the number of electoral college votes for Obama and Romney. That stays at 303 to 206, so no movement there.
And I'm also looking at the Senate. Looks like the Democrats have got 51 compared to the Republicans 45. But then taking a look down in the House of Representatives, the Democrats have
have got 179, but as we said earlier in the program, the Republicans ahead in the House, 227 there.
It's interesting. On both of those, I've got different numbers because I'm looking at a different site directly, but the balance doesn't actually change either way. Mm. Yeah. So, and interestingly, about 57 million people voted for Obama, 55 million for Romney. So that's about 115 odd million out of a country that's about 250 or something million people. So still only a bit over half. So.
Certainly. Moving on to different issues, of course, this will be the last time you hear us badgering on about the 2012 Joy 94.9 Trivia Extravaganza. It is this Sunday, and it is certainly not too late to come into Joy and get your tickets.
Yes, and as I said when we were talking about it earlier, we need people on our table.
Yes.
It's $15, so come on in or give us a call here at the station during business hours when there's someone sitting on the desk who would like to do that for you.
Mm.
So the other... Oh, here's an interesting fact. There's about $2 billion that have been spent on the American election.
Oh, I thought you said on the trivia night. I'm like, wow, where did Joy get the budget for that? Right, okay, $2 billion on the US
election. $2 billion, about $1 billion of that is reported to have been on television advertising.
Wow, that is crazy.
In an economic climate where the American economy is going to hell in a handbasket.
Mm.
Yeah.
Certainly. Well, very interesting points. Of course, a reminder about the US election and the 2012 Trivia Night. But unfortunately, this has been Gay News Week and we have run out of time for this evening.
A big thank you to everyone who joined in on the conversation tonight. Thanks to our technical producer, Matt Nock, for pushing the buttons for us.
And thank you very much to our producer, Pam Cordo, for helping us with tonight's show.
Pam is new, so welcome. If at any time through the week you want to get in contact with us, suggest topics, or email us on gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or head to joy.org.au for all our social media platforms.
And check out the podcast, which will be up later tonight. But until next week, we are Jeffrey and Matt. This has been Gay News Week.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week. And that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So, for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News on Joy 94.9. Now, there's something for you to muse.
That rhymes.
You've been listening to Gay News Week. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links on how you can keep up to date with the team on social media. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday from 7 p.m. right here on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.